You're listening to the Sony Cycle, Record Spin. Los Herederos en Mixtitious Radio.
The Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition shares sounds and sentiments from NYC's ever-evolving diasporadical DJ scene with an eye for style and an ear for local culture.
Hello, hello everybody, and this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition on air, al aire ya. Alright everybody, this is Mixty again, broadcasting live from the patio in Forest Hills, Queens. Once again, we're gonna be here hanging out and sharing a lot of music and stories with the people that it's involved with the culture, the diaspora, and music. This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition. Okay. Well, we were listening to some South African grooves. Always finding some music, product of the diaspora. And this time wasn't the exception. As I said, this is the new edition, a new edition of the Sony Cycle Record Spin, the Patio Editions. We've been broadcasting from this beautiful patio, Alejo's house. If you haven't listened yet, you can check out www.mixtissues.net/losherederos. And you can listen to the other broadcasts that we had. It's been 4 weeks already. We've had different DJ guests with Love's Stories from the diaspora, Ecuador, Cuba, Colombia. So this is like the last one of this series. This is gonna be the last day that we're gonna be here in the patio, and it's been a really nice and really interesting to be sharing with you people and with our guests all the stories and the music. So you have to keep on listening, because we're gonna keep on going and we're gonna keep on sharing music and culture. If this is the first time that you are listening to us, we are Los Herederos, inheriting culture on the digital age, a nonprofit organization that it's doing a lot of stuff that has to do with music and culture and how to get in contact with the cultures that live in Queens. So we are producing this radio program. And well, I would like to introduce to you our executive director, Naomi Strom. So we're gonna be speaking about all these programs and Los Herederos also, and get people to get to know us. So Naomi, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, I can hear you too. All right, welcome again. This is our last day of this season, at least.
It is. It's the last day of our summer season, which has been outdoors.
It's
been the patio edition. Yeah, it's been a nice change up. So it is our last Sunday program of the summer, but we are hopeful to be returning in the fall and again, you know, throughout the rest of the year with other Record Spin editions. And we count with our listeners and our supporters and our community and our funders to help us to make that happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gonna happen. We're not gonna stop. We're gonna keep on looking for more funders and more friends that help us, and of course for more guests and more stories to share with the people, right?
Exactly. So, you know, it went so well with this pilot patio edition, and we've done some other editions in the past. We had a basement edition, and so, you know, I think what I'm hopeful for, you know, is that we can continue to have these different editions in different informal spaces, you know, home spaces around the city, because one of the things that makes New York and a lot of urban centers in the United States, but definitely New York in its own way, so special is the fact that space comes at a premium, right? It's a very crowded city. People don't have a lot of personal space. You learn to love that.
Yeah.
But it's also a reality of life. It's been really a struggle for folks during the pandemic,
Definitely.
The COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, I grew up in New York and I always enjoyed the apartment building life, but in a pandemic with very serious illness and public health concerns, it's a struggle. It's really hard. So what I'm hoping to do is that we can continue to celebrate the way that New Yorkers use informal space, whether it's the patio, the basement, the front stoop, the deck, the roof of a building, right? There are different ways, the curb, the corner, little abandoned lot here and there. There's all these funny urban spaces that people and communities make their own. And so we are telling a sonic story. We're telling a story through music and conversation and talk. But I'm hopeful that we can situate those conversations in these different very lovable spaces around the city.
Yeah, where would you like, have you thought about it? Where would you like to have our next series?
Well, I think a rooftop would be pretty damn cool.
Right.
That would have to be soon. So we'd have to get some support and a space soon. Yeah. It'd have to be before it gets cold. But I think that would be really wonderful. But I'd also be interested to return to our basement studio in Jackson Heights. And, you know, with what we've learned from this patio addition and the wonderful kind of improvements we've been able to make overall to the show, I'd love to revisit that as well. Yeah,
we have to mention invite the people to check out the YouTube page of Los Herederos. Could you tell us which one is exactly the page so people can visit and check out all the interviews that we did with our past guests?
Yes. So there's two ways you can do that. If you want to just listen to the interview audio, you can obviously go onto the Mixtitious site, right? So that's www.mixtitious.net. Or you can go to our YouTube page, which is at Los Herederos NYC. And that page just got a facelift and it's got a lot of videos and we've actually been gaining a lot of followers. So if you do go, please like the page and follow the page, because that's something that can help us eventually raise money for our work as well. So that's a great way to support and learn more.
All right, that's important. To check us out, keep on checking out our work and check out the webpage and all that Los Herederos is doing around these beautiful neighborhoods right here in Queens. So, we're going to keep on doing. How about if we listen to some music and then we announce our last guest and we talk about our events and the bulletin or the things that we usually are mentioning in this intro for the Patio Edition.
Sure.
All right. I love that sound of the guitar, Angolan guitar, the groove. I just love it. Naomi, still there? Yeah?
I am still here.
All right, I'm going to put down a little bit the music. All right. And, before we go to the bulletin and all the information, the community bulletin and the information about the events and everything, how about if we talk about, like, everything that we've done in this season? How have you felt about this hard work that we've been doing, producing these shows weekly? Because it's been really a challenge for all of us, for all the team, right?
Well, you know, I think it's been a challenge, but I would say that all this work is always a challenge. You know, I think that's the role. That's really the energy with nonprofit and grassroots work, is that, you know, I've been at the circus my whole life, I feel, you know. I really haven't taken a break. So I think it always has that energy. But I hope with all that we've experienced recently in terms of health and also, social emotional health and having a real reckoning with our society about racial justice and other human rights issues, immigration issues, I'm really hoping that these things coming to a head also show that the art and the cultural sector are vital, you know, and the work that we do with Los Herederos, but not just us, all of the people we work with, you know, the DJs that we work with, the musicians, the tradition bearers, just the people who make up the world. Having platforms for culture to be healthy and alive and play an important role in people's life is vital. So I really hope that maybe it gets just a little less hard for us to do this work, But you know, it was hot. We were experimenting with the patio. We had connectivity issues. But I do want to err on the side of the positive and say that thanks to a grant from the Citizens Committee of New York City, they're all in the Neighborhood Grant Program, and our wonderful creative team.
That's great help, though.
You know, and the donation of our patio studio by one of our team members and collaborators, yeah. Alejo Navarro.
Shout out.
You know, and just the DJs, our friends in this diasporadical scene, who came with such energy. We really produced some beautiful work. We have all the radio segments that went live, and then we also have these wonderful videos on our YouTube page. So I think overall it was a great success.
It is. Definitely. I wanted to ask you, what do you take from all the guests that we had? What do you remember? What would you take with you to... So we can tell the people how did we feel about it, and what did they bring to us?
So I thought the quality of our DJs I think it's always been high. I think one of the high points of these programs we've been doing with the Record Spin and with the Sony Cycle Radio has been the quality of the DJ and the talent on the show. I think that's paramount. But a big shout out to all of our guests this season. But I think the other thing that was really, for me, was the big high point was whenever we do a program with Los Herederos, especially a radio program, you know, we set out to tell a story, right? And we always have that. We're a storytelling agency. We love art, but it's not just about the art. It's what the art does. And so for this show, you know, Andres, you and I have been working very hard to really investigate and delve into and create a real platform for this diasporadical sound that's come onto the DJ scene, the immigrant DJ scene in New York. New York has always been an immigrant city. It's always been a blend of music. And then there's been this kind of new young immigrant, and also some just, you know, tried and true New Yorkers who maybe aren't immigrants but are a part of the scene and really interested in diverse sounds. There's been this growing scene that we kind of labeled the diasporadical DJ scene. And I think in this show, in the patio edition, I'm not sure we knew ahead of time exactly how it would be, but we were able to really delve into the Latin diaspora, right?
Yeah.
This idea of Latinidad and how that is played out in New York. And, you know, just hearing those stories, yes, of the records and the musical stories and the musical journeys and why people play what and how they identify themselves as part of this diaspora.
I was going to say that.
That was a high point, but I also was real interested in how everyone we talked to, whether they were a New Yorker or they were actually a transplant, you know, to kind of compare and contrast these Latino sounds from different cities in the U.S. To me, that was also really, really interesting.
Yeah, I loved it too. And I felt identified, as you said, because since I moved to the city, I mean, I came to New York like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, but I was away for 12 years or something. I came back like 1 year ago, right? So I came like to a new whole new city and getting together with these people that are like me, you know, in a way, and sharing all that and get all that information, all that they have lived here in this city and what all they have done with the music and culture and taking their identity and their Latinidad again and with them with pride. It's really interesting, like, to get close to these people. We were very lucky also, because these guys are kind of like, you know, very I'd say busy and big in a movement, right? They're well known. So actually, for us, it was also like a good time, these hard times that we're living, you know, because for DJs and
that
and,
was
and,
the silver lining, right?
Exactly.
The blessing in disguise. We got to work with incredible people.
Yeah, because they had the time. Maybe if we were in these hard times, they wouldn't have had the time to come and share with us, right? So we're kind of lucky in a way.
Let's hope they would. I mean, I do think Los Herederos is well respected in the community. But they definitely gave people more time. That is true.
That's what I meant. Yeah, they would have been busier than now. Anyways. But yeah, we were really lucky. So again, we invite the people to go to the YouTube channel of Los Herederos and mixtiches.net/losherederos, so you can check out all of this that we are talking about.
Yeah. So Andres, do you want to do our community bulletin now, or did you have any other things you wanted to chat about?
I think we're ready. We're about to start with our guest. So what if we take the time to talk about our community bulletin?
Sure.
Right?
So, yeah. So we've been doing, for those who don't know, we've been doing a weekly COVID community bulletin to get information and shout outs to like-minded organizations and community partners out into the Ethernet and the internet and on the sound waves, and just show some love for the community. And today is no exception. So, you know, in terms of our COVID announcements for food programs, anyone who's still needing food, don't be ashamed. It's a struggle for everybody. A lot of people's unemployment has run out. If you were even eligible to begin with, the rent in New York is very high still, even though it shouldn't be. So, you know, we're all suffering, and, you know, Los Herederos, we really, even us, we understand all of that. So we wanted to give a shout out to a really yet another amazing food pantry doing service in Queens called the Love Wins Food Pantry. They have a very interesting history with the LGBTQ community in Queens, which is very concentrated in Jackson Heights and Elmhurst. That's a whole interesting history that maybe sometime we'll delve into on the radio. That those are very historic places for the LGBTQ community in New York, particularly the Latino and Latinx communities. So anyway, Love Wins Food Pantry has been around for over 50 years, and they kind of came to be because of the advent of Pride and the AIDS epidemic in New York, which quite different, but we are in the middle of another epidemic. So they see it as their role to continue to support the community. And you don't have to identify as part of the LGBTQ community to receive their support, but you do have a safe space there. So they've partnered up with Friends Tavern, World Central Kitchen, which is all over the U.S., the World Sikh Parliament, our newest assembly member, Jessica Gonzalez Rojas, council member Daniel Drum, and the Mirror Trans-led Beauty Co-op. And so all these groups came together, whether they're government, nonprofit, food pantry businesses, and they are providing boxed food. So check them out. It's free, and they're providing a weekly service.
All
and
right.
For our
Go ahead.
And for our cultural content, if you like what we're doing and you're a podcast junkie, radio junkie, and you want to check out some of our partners and our friends, there's some other stuff that we uncovered this past week that we wanted to let you know about. One of that is the podcast of Sonidos Enraizados, which is actually a Colombian-based cultural organization.
Yeah.
But we've worked with them a lot in New York for our Creative Masters publications. When they've done tours and brought master artists, maestros from Colombia, we've covered those events. And so they have a beautiful program called Radio Raíz. So you can check that out on their website. It's also up online. We've shared it on all of the Los Herederos social media, which is at Los Herederos NYC. It's a beautiful program about Colombian music masters.
Yep.
And then our very own Mickey Perez, who was on the show just a couple of weeks ago, has a podcast with some friends as well called The Speak Podcast, which is available on Newtown Radio or Mixcloud, and they just launched. I checked it out, and it's an interesting foil to what we're doing. It's a different style, slightly different vibe, but they are exploring the sort of Latino diaspora, being a DJ in New York, and how that is. And so it's real fun. It kind of reminds you of AM radio from the 90s.
Oh yeah, I have to check it out. I haven't checked it out.
It's a hoot. I highly recommend it. And they're going to be doing other installments. And so you know, it's a little bit of what it's like to play nowadays, what it's been like to play, and then it's also just them commenting on their lives, social issues. It's fun. So
cool.
I'd give a shout out to those two groups, and you know, that's our bulletin for this week, and we'll try to bring it back in the future. But you know, we're going to close out today with an extra special guest. Andres, who are we going to have?
Yeah, she's La Bamba. Well, La Bamba is a Colombian DJ and collector. But she knows is not only about music, but also into fashion. She's very into fashion, like vintage kind of, how do you say it? Ephemera? What's
ephemera.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
What does that mean in Spanish, actually?
Como, you mean, how do you say in ephemera in Spanish?
Yeah, como...
Yo diría in Spanglish, ephemera.
Ephemera?
I don't know.
I can't find the word for ephemera. But anyways, the thing is, this is a very special person. She's from Colombia. She was born in Colombia, another daughter of the diaspora, but she was raised in New York City. So she has a very special identity and style in her music and her way of living also. It's like all connected. Everything is connected with the city that she lived in, that she was raised in, and connected to Colombia, her like her mother country. In a way of saying. So we're gonna have a very special set for this clothes. It's really nice, and it's also very very nice that it's a girl that is like finishing these sessions, this series. So we're excited about it.
So yeah, I just looked it up. I was right. Ephemera.
Ephemera. Yeah, but I can't find the word in Spanish.
No, that's what it is. That's what I'm saying.
Ephemera.
Ephemera. Ephemera.
Oh.
Yeah.
Vintage ephemera.
Right. Yeah, like she, but you know, it's like it gets in with style, but ephemera is not just clothes, right?
Yeah.
Like accessories and yeah. The way she does her posters. It's like
exactly.
All kinds of tangible and intangible stuff. But she's deep into some other scenes too, right? That are part of this diasporadical thing. But
yeah.
she's less tropical, and
exactly.
La Bamba is more into
that
swing,
rockabilly and surf,
rockabilly yeah. jive scene. Yeah. So it's, I think it'll be nice to have that as well, as you said, to have a female perspective, but also to compare and contrast with a very different dance scene where
exactly.
It's not just vintage, it's like period. People dress up like they're from the 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's connected with the tropical part of her, I think, with the Latin boogaloo, you know, and the rock and roll, and the Latin rock and roll, you know. There's like a connection
that stuff
there.
Was popular in South America too.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah, definitely.
Just with its own style. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's going to be very interesting we're going to get to know her a little bit more and get some stories from her life and her life in music and collecting. Also, we're gonna of course listen to a set, a 1 hour set with her records. So it's gonna be very fun, as always, as usual. And it's kind of sad that it's the last one, but I don't feel like it's the last one, you know.
No,
so we're gonna keep on going. So it's been very nice, and we're going to have so much fun this afternoon right here at the patio in Forest Hills, Condado de
Definitely.
Queens. Naomi, one last question before I let you go and before we go to the interview with La Bamba. And it's like, for you as a executive director of the Los Herederos and all the work that you have to you've done doing this patio, what were like the high points for you to share with the people? What's like the best things that you take with you?
Well, you know, I think it's what I was saying before. You know, I feel like we achieved a really unique story through this edition, which was to go beyond just this, diverse musical scene, which is very rich in its own right and historically has had, it's also very place-based, you know, it's come up in sort of these underground clubs and bars and places in New York that are suffering right now and are
yeah.
not really happening. And so I think it was a great moment to kind of bring that to the surface. Otherwise, you know, where would these DJs be playing? And also, you know, to shine a light on the need to have these platforms for them, right? Like they're the talent, but the place is the other half of the cookie, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
the pie or whatever you say. So, you know, I think that was very rich, and that's been a constant throughout our shows, our different editions. But this one, to really delve into the Latino identities and the Latina identities,
yeah.
right? And these, how that transverses different cities in the U.S. People are the product of different, cultures. Sometimes there's a first-generation immigrant. Sometimes it's, 1.5 or second generation. Sometimes people have two different Latin American cultures that have come together through their parents' union, right? Like, there's all these different stories that have come out, whether it was Ecuador or Cuba or Colombia, and so that, to kind of get those stories on record and see how that connects to a DJ's sound and mission has been the high point for me. And I really hope that we can, I mean, there's so many diasporas for us to work in, but I really hope we can continue to work with this one because it's near and dear to our heart and it's just so rich,
So. Yeah, definitely. So we're up for the next ones, for the next season, whatever it is.
I hope so. And I definitely want to see more ladies in the next
one. Yeah, me too. Definitely. We have to, it's like something weird because I feel like there are more girl movements talking about collectors and DJs. They have been like lately they are creating like a lot of movements, but it's also not easy to find them. You know what I mean? To invite them to our shows, It's like it's been complicated to have girls in our shows. So
I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, would you say, I'm not a DJ, Andres, but would you say that although there are these collectives and is a new movement, would you say that it's a fairly male-dominated industry?
Yeah,
still?
It is.
I don't know. I'm asking.
It is. It is. It still is. But I feel like, as I said, more and more and more collectives are coming out. And I see it on the social media. And there are movements in Spain, in France, in Peru, in Brazil, in Colombia. I haven't seen the one in New York. Exactly. Maybe it's not created yet.
We could do international.
Yeah, that would be a really good idea. Because.
But still, we gotta do something for New York. New York has to represent here.
Of course.
I bet we just don't know. We gotta really get our field work. With our field.
Yeah. So that's the challenge for the next ones.
Yeah. Okay. And if you have a female DJ collective in New York, hit us up.
Yes.
Go on our website www.losherederos.org and please let us know so that we can even do all women in the future. Let's see.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Well, Naomi, so we're going to listen to some music and then we're going to start our conversation, our chat, our interview with Vanessa La Bamba.
Great. Can't wait.
Thank you very much for all the hard work and your help.
Of course. Okay.
Okay, so this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition, the semi-final edition.
No, it's the final patio edition.
It's the final patio edition.
We'll be back with future editions.
Yeah, we're going to take over another place in New York City, in Queens County. Ciao, Naomi.
Okay, ciao.
So stay tuned because La Bamba is coming. You're listening to the Sony Cycle Record Spin, Los Herederos and Mixtitious Radio. This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin, Los Herederos, inheriting culture in the digital age.
We are pleased to announce that through August 2nd, 2020, the Sony Cycle Record Spin is powered by Citizens Committee for New York City via their All in the Neighborhood COVID-19 Relief Grant Program.
DJ La Bamba, Los Herederos, Radio Mixticios, Agosto 6, 2020.
Okay, here we are, the moment of the conversation, the interview, the chat with our guest. And as we said earlier, it's a very special guest, as all of that we had, but it's special because it's a woman, it's a girl. It's so nice to have a girl representing here and being part of this culture of music. So this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition with Vanessa La Bamba. Colombian born, New York City raised, DJ collector. She's into a lot of, I was talking to her and she said like she doesn't want to be like encapsulated in one kind of music. She's into a lot of types of music, Latin music, rock and roll, rockabilly, northern soul. And that's what we're gonna talk about today with her. We're gonna get to know her a little bit at least and get to listen to her music, what she collects, why did she get into music, and listen to some of her stories. So we want to welcome Vanessa La Bamba. Vanessa, thank you very much, and we're so happy to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, please. It's amazing that you're here in the patio. We're in Forest Hills, broadcasting from Queens. You're from Colombia, mm-hmm. but since you came to the United States, to New York City, when was that you came?
That was in,
looking back,
93. Yeah, so I was 5 years old.
All right. And since then, you've been in Queens.
I have, yeah.
All
Queens.
Right.
Queens girl through and through.
Yeah, Queens it is, we say. How has it influenced your personality involved in music?
I grew up in Jackson Heights.
Okay. Since when you first came, you came to Jackson Heights?
When I first came with my mom, we landed in Corona.
Okay.
And we were there for 2 years, and then we moved to Jackson Heights. And that's where I was pretty much my whole life growing up. And yeah, I mean, that was super influential in who I am.
Yeah, of course.
Just kind of being surrounded by so many different cultures and people who sort of are sharing the same struggle of leaving their home countries for something better. I can't imagine who I would be without having grown up in Jackson Heights.
Yeah, of course.
Or in Queens, really.
Do you remember what kind of sounds did you used to listen in the streets or in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Back then?
Yes. So the part of Jackson Heights that I was in was mostly Colombian.
Colombian, right? Corona.
Yeah. So, you know, Northern Boulevard. So you would walk down Northern Boulevard and you would hear vallenatos and cumbias, you know, blasting from the restaurants.
Yeah.
There was the Colombian Pride parade that would happen on Northern Boulevard also that ended on our block, and we would see all of the people in their outfits, and we would be right there with my mom. And then, you know, you would walk a little further down and you would land in Little India, and, you know, there'd be like Nepalese restaurants and businesses sort of blasting their music, and Thai restaurants and the like little Ecuadorian section, you know, and yeah, I mean, you would just hear everything. And I think also in New York City, you know, you see the people outside of like delis or bodegas playing dominoes and listening to merengue, you know, like that's just very much a part of growing up in the city.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's so lovely about New York City.
Yeah.
That's why I think we're doing this kind of shows, because there's a lot of about the diaspora from everywhere in the world.
Totally.
It's only in this city, I think.
Yeah.
So do you remember when did you become interested in music, like in getting into records or getting into listening to music more for a personal interest?
Mm. I grew up in a family that was pretty, they weren't musical, but music was a big part of our lives.
Yeah.
I think especially specifically being Colombian.
And from Medellin.
And
uh-huh.
from Medellin.
Mucha salsa.
That was a really big part, you know, el 24 de diciembre, you know, like the salsas, las cumbias.
El chucuchuco. Are you into chucuchuco? You know what it is? Do you know?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's not very, very popular in a certain way.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, I mean, I just grew up listening to music all the time at home.
Yeah.
My mom, my aunts, my grandmother, you know, everyone was... It's just such a big part of our culture.
Yeah.
So I think music was always a very big part of who I was growing up. And then when I got older, I got into like punk and rock and roll. And that was like super different from everything. And but music has definitely just always been around. Like I haven't really thought of that because it's just always been there.
Do you think you have when you made that turn to punk rock and everything? I believe I would say it was when you were a teenager.
That's what
happens to us.
Uh-huh.
To many of us.
Yeah.
Did you remember that you could maybe reject like your culture, your own identity, that kind of music that your family and your surroundings?
You know what? Actually, there was never a rejection of.
Okay.
The music that I grew up listening to, I always embraced it, you know, because it was such a big part of my family life. There was never a moment where I was like, this sucks, you know, because I had so many wonderful memories with my family also, you know, like dancing or singing to songs. So, there was never a rejection. It was more like on
the side
a second. Exactly. It's like on pause.
Yeah. I ask this, I'm going to turn into Spanish because I want to, you know, sometimes in this show we try to go back and forth in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
Y hablar un poco más en español, también en español para pues abarcar un poquito más de gente. Y bueno, Vanessa nos decía que, yo le preguntaba que si en algún momento en este creciendo y cuando tuvo su interés más por el punk y el rock, tendía de pronto a rechazar un poco la cultura latina, la música latina. Te lo preguntaba porque es un común denominador, es una charla que hemos tenido con todos los invitados, es una pregunta en la que yo les digo, porque ha pasado que muchos de nosotros, incluyéndome a mí, cuando encontramos como la cultura anglo,
uh-huh.
empezamos como a rechazar lo local, lo latino.
Uh-huh.
Y bueno, digamos que esto es chévere que haya como otra parte y tú estando acá, uh-huh. pues creciendo con eso, valorando uh-huh. tu cultura. Entonces, bueno, ella es Vanessa La Bamba y estamos aquí en el Sony Cycle Record Spin.
Hola,
Vanessa, continuando con la música, entonces, tú haces ese giro hacia el punk y el rock, y bueno, dentro de tus descripciones, yo leía por ahí en alguna parte, pues también estás, y al principio de la introducción decía, tú estás involucrada también en otros mundos musicales más que el latino y que la onda tropical, que también hace, pues, inevitablemente hace parte de tu identidad como, como DJ. ¿Hacia dónde te fuiste? ¿En qué momento te encontraste con esa onda? Y podrías contarnos como qué ondas, además del surf rock y el northern soul que yo mencioné, ¿en qué momento, de pronto, si recuerdas quién fue esa influencia o por qué llegas como a ir por ese lado y no tender más hacia al Caribe o al trópico que puede pasar, pues, por ser latina, ¿no?
I'm going to answer in English.
Yes, yeah, okay. of course.
I remember when I was younger, I would see on TV these, like, best of Motown compilations,
yeah,
commercials, and the music was always, it always just like grabbed me right away. And my mom was also really into Motown, surprisingly.
Okay.
So there was always like that influence, you know, so we would be listening to, I don't know, Los Inquietos or something like that. But then we'd be, you know, singing to like the Supremes, you
all
know.
All right.
So that kind of duality was always there. Since I was young.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the moment that you start like having that interest. When do you start buying records to play for other people?
I never bought records to play for other people.
Okay.
I just bought records because I thought that the medium was really interesting.
Okay.
I love the sound when you drop the needle and you hear the warmth and like the, yeah, snap, crackle and pop.
Like the nostalgic part of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally. So I think I bought my first record when I was maybe 19 or something, 20 maybe. And then I just started collecting over the, okay, years, but it was never with the intention of,
okay,
playing for other people or even DJing.
When did it happen?
When did I start DJing?
Yes. When did it happen? When you started buying records for you, and, well, mm-hmm, you liked the moment of listening to music in a record for you.
Yeah.
When did it happen that you started like thinking or going to places or play for other people?
I started DJing, I'd say maybe like 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was pretty accidental, actually. I had an ex-boyfriend who was DJing at this bar in the Lower East Side, and he was doing a monthly night.
Okay.
And he got really tied up with work, and I took over his night.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, just because I was just a really big fan of music, and I had,
yeah,
records, and so that's kind of how it happened. But it was never, I never
ventured
out,
it,
you know,
okay,
I want to be a DJ. And then it just started, you know, then I started getting invited to other parties, and I started connecting a little bit more with the,
yeah,
DJ community,
cool,
here in New York. And
all right.
Yeah.
And as a girl, when you started, did you get to know more girls that were into playing music? And have you seen that have been more girls all this time? Are there more girls now playing than before? That, if you've noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, there have always been women,
yeah,
collecting records and DJing,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
know, like that's always been happening, you know. So I met more DJs who identify as women through the DJ scene.
Okay.
But they've always existed. They've always been there.
Okay, because I've seen it's a place that it's mostly, you know, run by men.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Definitely.
It,
yeah,
is. You it, feel it, it like
is,
that too?
It definitely is a male-centric,
yeah,
world. But, I mean, there are women,
yeah,
who are DJs and who collect, and they're amazing, and there's a really cool community of people doing that here in New York, and everyone's very supportive, you know, and
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Okay, we're really into that. We want to, as Los Herederos, we want to get to know more girls to do these shows. It's very interesting to have more, you know, like the vision you know, the girl vision of this
this
record playing profession,
it's
right?
It's super important to have that
like
perspective.
Different energy. Vanessa, we asked you to bring a record, like a special record quote.
Yeah.
Or a favorite or essential or something that you really like that you never, when you're playing out, you never leave it at home. Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to it.
Okay.
Why don't you just pull it out and we can listen to it and talk about it. When did it become the favorite and all that? I'm going to pull this out. Estamos con Vanessa, mejor conocida como La Bamba, y esto es el Sony Cycle Record Spin. And this is the record that Vanessa brought that is one of her favorites. And Vanessa, what is it? I see here Sally Ruth Records. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to play it now. Wait, 45. Okay, 45. It's a 45,
uh-huh.
7 inches. We're going to listen to it in a bit. What is it? And tell us a little bit about the story, if there's a story about this record specifically.
There is a story. So this is Necia de mi Corazón by Little Francisco Greaves. And I remember the first time I heard this song, I was actually at Noche Romántica.
Okay.
And I think Josh Tenoch.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tenoch. I'm pretty sure it was Tenoch who played it. This was a couple of years ago. And it was towards the end of the night, you know, because it's like a slower song.
Yeah.
And it was a really long night. Everyone was dancing and sweating. And the song came on and I was at the bar talking with people, you know, there were like people around me. And the moment this song came on, I just completely just blanked. And like there were people trying to talk to me, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention because the song just grabbed me immediately. And it's like just one of those songs that like you just like feel it in your stomach like that.
Yeah.
And then I just became obsessed with this song, and it's just so beautiful. And it was recorded in the 60s, mid 60s. It's a Panamanian like soul doo-wop.
Beautiful.
And it's an incredible
record. Uno de esos discos que uno escucha y dice al otro día o en esa misma noche, mañana tengo que ir a conseguirlo ya.
Mm-hmm.
¿Y fuiste o se lo compraste a Tenoch? How did you do it?
No, pues lo busqué y me demoré por ahí como casi un año.
¿En serio? Buscarlo.
Sí, porque era un poquito carito.
Oh, okay. Es una joya.
Entonces lo encontré en Discogs.
Okay.
Por un buen precio. Y ahí mismo inmediatamente lo vi, and I was like, I have to have this record, and now I have it. And it's one of my favorites.
She is Vanessa La Bamba, and this is one of her favorite records, Necia de mi Corazón. There it goes. Thank you. Déjame vivir tranquilo. Little Francisco Grieves.
Pequeño Francisco Grieves.
Pequeño Francisco Grieves. Gracias. Uno de los favoritos esenciales, infaltable en la cajita de discos, en la cajita de sorpresas de Vanessa La Bamba. Le voy a dar la vuelta para poner este disco así de fondo mientras seguimos nuestra charla. Y este es el Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition con La Bamba, Vanessa La Bamba. Vanessa, in your description, it says that you are like the music you play. It's a reflection of the city you grew up in, right? That's New York City, of course, we have mentioned. We both know, and a lot of people, we know that New York City is like a whole world divided in little cities. So I would like you to describe that city that you grew up in that reflects your personality in the music. What kind of city is that you lived in, that you grew up in, that you lived right now?
So kind of going back to having grown up in Jackson Heights, you know, and being exposed and you know, kind of lived with and lived amongst so many different people who were also moving to this new country and trying to figure out their culture in this new country. And I think that was like super influential in how I listen to music. And then also growing up in Queens, going to school in Forest Hills. I went to Forest Hills High School, which is where the Ramones went to school. So that was like a really big deal. And, you know, there's like a really big rock and roll scene. You know,
so you're a fan of the Ramones? Are you
a fan? Yeah. I mean, of course. Who isn't?
Yeah, that's true.
Who isn't a fan of the Ramones? But yeah, they're like one of my favorite bands. And so... Because I think New York City is like such a transient city where there are so many different people who kind of come to settle down and try to figure out their lives. I think that has been a very very influential on just my brain when I was small and kind of looking around and growing up.
What's the city that you live in now?
I live in Queens. I live in Ridgewood, Queens.
It's like the same thing than Corona, you would say? You would have the same kind of surroundings?
So Ridgewood is a little bit more, it's a little bit more quiet. I grew up in Jackson Heights. And Jackson Heights is loud and there's always something happening and like a car driving by really fast. And, you know, the bodega is like blasting merengue and... Not so much in Ridgewood. It's a little bit more residential. Just a lot of older Polish families.
Okay.
but it's nice, you know. It's quaint. I like Ridgewood.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You're driving me crazy. Vanessa, we mentioned and we talk about the collectives, the DJ girls and... Well, I my perception is that in the last couple of years there have been more protagonism of girls like performing and DJing, collecting, and you recently recorded a set for Juanita. Is it right in the UK?
Juanita, yeah.
How did you get into that collective? Tell us how was the contact? What did you do? And if you know another kind of collective like that one?
So Juanita is a all female collective based out of London, and my friend Sadie, DJ Ginger Fizz, she's a part of it with DJ Jawa Jones, Sasha, and it originally started as a DJ night, you know, in actual physical places where they would invite female DJs to spin their favorite records with female identifying voices.
Okay.
And then when everything happened, they expanded it so that they would invite DJs from all over the world who normally wouldn't be able to travel to London to make mixes. And so I've known Sadie separately from that, but she's also a DJ, and you know, we get along that way. And yeah, they invited me to be a part of that, and it's been really cool because they've been inviting DJs from all over.
Yeah, I've seen.
I think actually, as a matter of fact, last week they had a DJ from Bogota.
Okay.
DJ Soul Turner, I think.
Soul Turner. Yeah.
So it's been really cool.
Shout out to Soul Turner in Bogota. She's part of a collective also called the Rulos. Rulos Vinyl Club.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, there are, you know, that's what I mentioned earlier. There are more. I think it's maybe organization of girls like trying to, you know, to show.
Well, I think
what they're doing.
I think it is because it is such a male-dominated field that. Yeah. Naturally, when you are different from that the majority, you gravitate towards people who share that interest with you. So it's easy to start creating groups and collectives of like-minded people.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of collectives throughout the country. And
is there anyone here in New York that you know of?
A collective?
Yeah.
I think there are a couple that I don't know personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that there's a female DJ collective based out of New York, but there are a bunch of DJs who identify as women, and you know, we all kind of know each other, and everyone's really supportive, and you know, people come out to your gigs and vice versa. And
you're very supportive. I think between girls are very supportive.
Yeah.
And they're really good organizing themselves.
Yeah.
Yourselves.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
You kind of have to be, you know?
Men were not like that.
No, and you definitely have to be supportive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if one succeeds, the rest succeed,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, of course, definitely. All right, Vanessa, we're going to have a set from you, like an hour, 50 minutes to an hour set. What did you bring for us today?
I brought a little bit of a lot.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of rock and roll. There's some soul stuff. There's some salsa.
Okay.
Maybe some cha-chas.
All
right. Yeah. Some boogaloo.
Okay, one last question. Rock and roll or boogaloo?
Oof, that's a tough question. That's a really hard question. That's really difficult for me to answer because I love both so much. But I think if I had to absolutely answer...
It's like you have to finish this party with either rock and roll or boogaloo. What do you choose?
It depends on the party. I think I would probably... I think I would probably go with rock and roll, mainly because like the rock and roll backbeat is you know part of boogaloo.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, so like without rock and roll you wouldn't have boogaloo, maybe.
Exactly.
So I would say rock and roll, so then I could eventually have
okay. It's not easy to choose anyways. All right, Vanessa, thank you. Muchas gracias.
Gracias a usted.
Muy chévere. Pues vamos a escuchar tu música. Uh-huh. Y esto es el Sony Cycle Record Spin de Patio Edition con Vanessa La Bamba. Thank you, nuevamente.
Thank you.
Give a beat. I can fear it. No, I said I can't fear it. Oh, you've got me hurting deep down inside, but you've got the rule over your eyes, darling. Thank you. feet. To be loved by someone. Darling, please, please, please.